Grace to be with us, and ask Father your Holy Spirit to be at work within your church to gather your church together for worship, and not only to gather your church together for worship and to receive the worship that is offered, but to prepare all of our hearts, Father, for what you would say to us in your word, both today and this week. Thank you for all of your love and grace, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're in the book of Esther, and last week we were talking about, we got introduced to Haman and all of that, and told the story of how he decided he wanted to eradicate the Jews, and managed to get that sent out to as a law throughout all the provinces, and then how Mordecai finds a way to appeal to Esther, and who's been the queen for about 4 years, and gets word to her, gets a copy of the decree to her. And what she does is she arranges for, you know, she decides at the end of chapter 4, you know, I will do this. You know, I'll go to the king even if I'm not invited. If I perish, I perish. You know, I'm going to do it no matter what. And so we get to chapter 5, and she, you know, dresses up in her royal clothing, and she stands in the inner courtyard, where in the courtroom, in where the king is, where he sits on the dais. Basically, when the door opens, he can see her, you know. And you're not even supposed to be in the sight of the king without invitation. And so she sets it up so that when the door is open, she can see him. And you know, it says a lot about him. As soon as he saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, she won his approval, and the king extended the golden scepter in his hand towards her, and she approached and touched the tip of the scepter. So, you know, as soon as he sees her, he invites her in and asks her, you know, I mean, this guy has, you know, fallen head over heels for Esther, because his opening statement to her is, "What is it, Queen Esther? Whatever you want, even to half of the kingdom, will be given to you." Yeah, that's something about a hot girl, you know. Whatever it is, I mean, when you're the king, all you can give to someone is half your kingdom. You know, you see that in the Gospels when the girl dances before Agrippa, and he says, "I'll give you anything up to including half of my kingdom," because if he gives her more than half the kingdom, he's not a king anymore. You know, so you know, this is a more than an eloquent grand gesture. This is from the king. This is a dynamic statement. And to think that he said that to her implies she could have just stated her case right then. You know, he just said he would give her half the kingdom. So, but she doesn't do that. And what she does is she invites the king and Haman, who's now the king's right-hand man, to a banquet that she's preparing for them. And Haman isn't there, so he says, you know, hurry, go get Haman, we're going to do this. So he says Haman shows up, they go to the banquet. Now, we have to understand this: these people knew how to party, because the banquet ended up lasting 3 days. You know, this is not just coming to dinner. You know, we think of banquet, we think of going to dinner. When they put on a banquet, you know, it would last for several days of coming and going and eating and, you know, visiting and talking and everything. And you got to get to, you know, the king and Haman entered into the banquet that Esther prepared. And you got to get to verse 6. While drinking the wine, the king asked Esther, "Do whatever you ask." You know, again, he repeats it, "Whatever you want, even to half my kingdom, will be done." So he is just opening his heart, his kingdom, his power, his authority, everything to her. See? And you got to hand it to her, because she's acting in such wisdom. She doesn't tell him. She keeps him hanging. You know, she's very intelligent, very wise. So this is my petition request. Here it is, king. If the king approves of me, if it pleases the king to grant my petition and perform my request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet I will prepare for them tomorrow. I will do what the king asks. So she keeps this banquet going. They come. He repeats his request. Well, come back tomorrow. We'll do this again tomorrow. So she's just, you know, you got to wonder what the, you know, what's going through the king's mind. She's just like letting it all hang out there. And come again. Now, what happens after that when she gives the, you know, king, okay, king, if you like me, if you're really willing to do that, come back tomorrow. You know, I'll share my request to you tomorrow. Well, what happens is Haman, he left full of joy and good spirits. I mean, he's excited. He's the number two man in the kingdom, and the queen has invited he and the king to a special banquet for just the three of them. And, you know, Haman is just full of himself. And he likes being in the position of power. He likes people bowing down to him and doing all of the stuff that comes with it. You almost get the idea that the king isn't even into that, but Haman is. And so Haman is really into that. So he leaves the banquet, and he is just full of joy. He's just so excited that, you know, for him, this is the pinnacle of what he can do. He's even having dinner and an ongoing banquet with the king and the queen. Just him with the king and the queen. You know, how good can that get, right? I mean, isn't that the premise today? We're watching football yesterday, and there's an ongoing thing with AT&T advertising is, you know, you can enter a contest to sit there and watch the championship games with this retired player. You know, these ideas that what you win is to spend a little time with this person. Okay. You know, whoop-dee-doo, you know. You know, another one is like, yeah, watch the championship game with Kirk Herbstreit. Okay. You know, but for him, this is the pinnacle of everything he wants. So he is jazzed beyond imagination. So he's leaving to go home, and he's so full of happiness and joy because he's made it. He's at the top. But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, and Mordecai didn't rise or tremble in fear at his presence, Haman was filled with rage toward Mordecai. Yeah, just like, don't you know who I am? It just makes me think of the old story of the, you know, airport, and the attendants are behind the counter, and this guy has to wait in line. He finally gets up there, and he's tired of waiting in line. He says, don't you know who I am? And she says, she picks up the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a gentleman here who doesn't know who he is. You know, that kind of a thing. And it says, yet Haman controlled himself and went home. So Haman is... For him to say he controlled himself, you know, he's reacting very emotionally. You know, you can see there's some rage here, but he controls himself and doesn't do anything. He sent for his friends and his wife Zeresh to join him, and he described to them his glorious wealth and his many sons, and he told them how the king had promoted him in rank, and he's just bragging on himself. Just, you know, this is what happened, and then, what's more, King Esther invited me to join the king at a banquet she prepared, and I'm invited again tomorrow to join with the king. You know, and he's like, he's got everything he's ever wanted. But then, like, still, none of this satisfies me since I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate all the time. Oh, yeah. You can have everything in the world you want, but if you get focused on one thing, you know, it's like, how many of you are guilty of that? His ability, you know, just like it can be absolutely perfect, but you focus on one thing that maybe isn't up to your expectations, and you screw the whole thing, you know. Guilty, yeah, you know, I've been there, and that's where he is. He's just like all of this. He's so full of joy. So I've done all this, and this is where I am, and everything. And still, man, every time I see this guy, I just, you know. So his wife says to all of his friends. His wife says, "Well, have them build a gallows 75 feet high." Okay, that's a little extreme, you know. So you hate this guy, let's hang him high, you know. But 75 and on, ask the king in the morning to hang Mordecai on it. Go to the banquet, you know, then go to the banquet and enjoy yourself. Since he's bothering you, just, you know, get the gallows ready. Then when you go in the morning, just ask the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows and go for it. So the hero of the story is more Mordecai most of the time than Esther. Because Esther does basically one thing, and this goes before the king. Mordecai is just standing there, and he's not going to pay any attention to this Haman dude. And here now, Haman's got this plan. He has the gallows built overnight, and he's going to go in the morning and get this guy hung, and he's, you know, then he can go enjoy the banquet. He can't have any joy in anything until he gets what he wants. You know, it sounds like a child. Poor man. Sometimes we're like that. But little does he know that God is at work. So he goes to bed thinking, okay, getting this gallows built, tomorrow we're going to take care of Mordecai, and I'm going to be happy, happy, happy. Then you get to chapter 6. And then that night, sleep escaped the king, so he ordered the book of recording of daily events to be brought and read to the king. Well, that would just put you to sleep. You know, it's like reading in court, just read me everything that's been going on. Just help me catch up. You know, just somebody reading the monotone, just reading that, you know, so-and-so did so-and-so, you know, all of that. And it says they found the written report of how Mordecai had informed on these two guys, the two eunuchs who guarded the king's entrance, when they planned to assassinate the king. So he's just listening to the reading of this stuff, trying to let it lull him to sleep, and he hears about Mordecai, and he hears about what he did to save the king, and he goes, stop. Read, you can just sort of picture this. Stop. Read that again. And he goes, then he asks the question, what honor and special recognition have been given to Mordecai for this? You know, he saved my life. What did he do? What did we do for him? The king's attendants answered him, sire, they said, nothing has been done for him. Nothing has been done for him. We don't have a record of anything being done for him. And the king says, oh, okay. So then the king is up and he says, now, who's in court? Who's in the court? And Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace of the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows as he prepared for him. So, Haman's ready, man. Haman's going to go. He's got Mordecai. He's going to just ask the king and hang this guy. He's just all excited. And the king said, well, Haman's out there. And he says, well, have him come in. So Haman entered, and the king says to him, what should be done for the man the king wants to honor? And Haman's going, he's thinking, oh, what would he do? What would I like? What would be really cool? You can just sort of see his mind thinking. And so Haman told the king, for the man the king wants to honor, have them bring a royal garment that the king himself has worn. Put a horse the king himself has ridden, which has the royal diadem on its head. And put the garment and the horse under the charge of the king's most noble officials, and have them clothe the man in the king wants to honor, and parade him through on the horse to the city and square, proclaim before him, this is what is done for the man the king wants to honor. So Haman is thinking, this is what I'd like. Wear the king's clothes, ride the king's horse, have one of the king's noble lead the horse, and just parade to the city saying, I'll pay homage, because this guy's the one that got... This Haman's going, oh, that would feel so good. You can just see it. You can just see it. That would just be so cool. That would feel so good. And then the king told him, this is when you want to be a fly on the wall and you want to see the guy's face. Hurry and do just as you propose. Take a garment and a horse for Mordecai the Jew. You can see Haman just like, what? Haman's already riding the horse in his mind. he's already there. And it was sitting at the king gate. Do not leave out anything you have suggested. Do everything you said, but do it to him. So Haman took the garment and the horse. He clothed Mordecai and paraded him to the city square, crying out before him, this is what is done for the man who wants to honor. You want to talk about throwing gasoline on the fire? And Haman had no choice. He had no choice but to do what, don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. this is just classic, And Mordecai returned to the king's gate, and Haman, overwhelmed, hurried off for home with his head covered. Now he's just sort of crying in his beer, all the way home. Haman told his wife and all of his friends everything that happened. His advisors and his wife said, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is Jewish, you won't overcome him because your downfall is certain. So while they were still speaking to him, the eunuchs of the king arrived and rushed Haman to the banquet Esther prepared. So where this thing where he was supposed to go to this banquet and it was supposed to be so exciting and so wonderful, now it's like the worst thing in the world that he ever would have to do, he had to do. And his advisors and his wife said, man, you're messed up, man. You're going down. You're just if this happens this way,
you're on your way out. Just when he thinks he's reached the pinnacle and he's right where he wants to be, his friends are saying, "Oh man, you're done, man. It stinks to be you, you know." So then he goes to the banquet, and you can't go before the king with a sad face. So he's got to put on a happy face. You know, he's got to put on a happy face and go to the banquet. So at least he's there. You know, he's probably taking comfort from the fact that at least he's still there. You know, Mordecai is back at the king's gate, and he's in the banquet with the king and the queen. At least he's still there. Once again, on the second day, while drinking wine, the king asked Esther, Queen Esther, "Whatever you ask will be given to you. Whatever you seek, given to half the kingdom will be done." That's the third time he has said that. This dude is gone. You know. So she just says, "Okay." She said, I told you I would do it today. So if I have obtained your approval, my king, and if the king is pleased, spare my life. Now, this is my request. Spare my people. This is my desire." Whoa. Can you imagine? That's a party killer. They're sitting there drinking wine. They're feeling good, you know, loosened up. King's willing to give her whatever she wants. And she says, "Well, just don't kill me and my people. Spare my life. Spare my people. That's what I want. All I want is you to spare my life." He says, "For my people have been sold out to destruction, death, and extermination. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept silent. Indeed, the trouble wouldn't have been worth burdening the king." He says, "Yeah, if you had just sold us all as slaves, that would have been fine. But this is extermination. So I wouldn't even bother the king with it if you just, you know, sold us all out. But no." And so he speaks up. The king speaks up and says, "Who is this and where is the one who would devise such a scheme?" Ta-da! "May, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you Haman the Destroyer," you know. And Haman stood terrified before the king and the queen. Now it's like, he thought it was bad before when he had to parade Mordecai around. "And angered by this, the king rose from where they were drinking wine and went to the palace garden. And Haman remained with the queen to beg Queen Esther for his life because he realized that the king was planning on doing something terrible to him." So he's going to, it's the queen now who say, "Hey, spare me." So he's going to beg her because he realizes he no longer has any influence with the king, and the queen can have anything she wants. So he's going to deal with her. And just as the king returned from the palace garden to the house of wine drinking, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. So he's like, he's begging her. He's just falling at her feet. And the king walks in just as he does that. "Would he actually violate the queen while I'm in the palace?" So you want to kill the queen and kill all of her people. And now you're actually, now his mind just jumps right there. And as soon as the statement left the king's mouth, Haman's face was covered. Okay, what you have to realize is they're rarely alone, and somebody put a cloth over his face, just bagged his head. King doesn't want to see him anymore. And Harbona, one of the royal eunuchs, says, "There's a gallows 75 feet tall at Haman's house that he made for Mordecai, who gave the report that saved the king." Remember Mordecai that saved you? It says this guy, Haman, built a gallows 75 feet high in his house to hang Mordecai on. And the king says, "Well, okay, hang him on it." No use hanging around, Oh, yeah. And they hanged Haman in the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. And then the king's anger was subsided. He thought, "You're like a soap opera." Oh, just inappropriate. That's about where it came from, Just there's a lot of things that come out of this, And so where are we? Haman has devised this scheme. He hated Mordecai. He hated all of his people. Devised this scheme to kill them. The queen gets word of it. The queen goes before the king.
She leads the king on in this ongoing banquet and getting him drinking and relaxed, and you know, finally get somebody to where they're finally relaxed, you know, because it's tough to be the king, you know. So you finally get him relaxed at the banquet, and then after 2 days of just that relax, and we're just here, it's just the three of us, then she lays this on him, and Haman finds out that, you know, it's him, and they take him away covered up, and then they hang him on the gallows. But you see, the story is not over. You think, I mean, it could stop right there, right? But there's this law that on this day, you know, on the 15th of October, everybody in the entire empire has the king's permission to slaughter the Jews and plunder all their goods. That law is still on the books. Nothing has changed. Except for Haman, the author of the law, is no longer with us. So when we come back next week, we'll see how all of that gets resolved and how creative God is, with the idea that once the king issues a law, it cannot be revoked. So he can't revoke the law. He can't say, I'm going to nullify that law. That law no longer applies. He can't do that. He can't do that. So how does the king deal with it? How does God deal with saving the life of his people? So that's what we'll see next week. Okay. Fun story, huh? Unless you're Haman. Yeah, unless you're Haman. Yeah, a lot of drama, a lot of drama. Father, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for being at work in, you know, in this story. There's no mention of you in any of this story, but we see your hand at work to protect your people as you always have. You always are there to protect your people. So we thank you, Father, for that promise, and we thank you for seeing your hand at work, and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name.